Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service.
National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
Very good morning, you deadly mob. Welcome back to your deadly program, National Talk Black. Yarnum with the bully one, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. Here at the Doubletree Hotel, at the Hilton Hotel here in Cairns, having to talk to deadly uncles who were part of the Conchilla Boys Aboriginal training for our boys in New South Wales, Conchilla. And with that, I'm going to catch up a yarn with Uncle Roger Jarrett. So Uncle Roger, who you mob were you from?
I'm a Goombangir, Southern Goombangir elder.
Okay.
I'm the minder of our totem. Our totem is the diamond python.
Yes.
And I'm the minder handed down to me from the uncles.
Okay, beautiful. Thank you, Uncle. And look, thank you for coming to the program. So you were one of the boys that were removed from country and taken to Conchilla Boys Aboriginal training camp. So would you say it was a training camp, or were you treated as slaves? How were you treated, Uncle?
We were treated as slaves.
You were?
Yes. The staff in there were all ex-army. The manager when I was there in 1958 was Frank White, English Army. He was a Grenadier Gunner. John Purvis, Sergeant of Grenadier Guards, England.
Yes.
Billy Dodds was a Australian private. He was pretty good at a lot of them. There was Harry Burns, who was a medic, Australian Army, from Maxwell. And the two cooks when I was there in 1958 were Mr. Bilby, Mrs. Stewart. They both lived in Jersey.
Okay.
Yeah.
And as the name suggests, Conchilla Boys Aboriginal Training Camp. So it was only for black boys. There were
correct.
No white boys there in the camp?
No, correct. The only white boy that was in there when I was there was the manager's son, Graham White.
Yeah.
And he had another son named Keith.
Sure.
Yeah.
So when you were in the training camp, were you going to school? Were you fed? Were you clothed?
We had a school there, a primary school. Mr. Brian Telford was a teacher in 1958.
Mm-hmm.
He stayed there for about a year. And when I got out of high school, I couldn't learn. Been taken away from your family. Blackboard looks like scribble.
Yeah.
So you can't understand, you can't, it's just blank.
Sure.
Everything's blank. Went to high school in 1960 and went to 1H and that's...
So you went to school from the training camp. The training camp was like the hostel, so to speak?
Yeah.
Or did you have schooling at the camp, at the Conchilla Boys Camp?
Yeah, we had primary school there.
Primary school there, yes.
Yes, and then when I went to high school, we were picked up in a bus.
Yep.
Mercury Road Lines was the company. Hilton Everson owned it.
Yep.
Used to come to Kinchilla, pick us up, take us to Kempsey High School. When we got there, we were put in a classroom of 1H.
1H?
Yeah, you go from 8 out of 8, it's a long way,
yeah.
Education-wise.
Yep.
We were in a demountable at the side of the school.
Yeah.
We weren't allowed in the room, classrooms of the school.
So there was segregation.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, black students, yep, in one classroom,
yep,
and all the other white students in all the other classrooms.
Yep, yep. Exactly right, yeah.
And what year? This is
1961.
Yeah. So there was segregation way back, yep, then.
Yeah, but the only thing about that, because we come from Kinsella, we used to go in, have a shower, we were allowed in the swimming pool in 1961.
Yeah.
We were the only ones allowed, the Aboriginals in school.
Yeah.
Into the swimming pool. The staff said to us, if you walk down the street and you see a black fella coming the other way, walk the other side. You can't trust them, they're no good drunks.
Yeah, that was instilled in the white people around that time.
Yeah, the ex-army soldiers.
Yeah.
We were flogged every day.
You were flogged every day?
Yep. I was born at Crindy Beach, up near Coffs Harbour, Woolgoolga.
Yep.
And because we were Aboriginal, we weren't allowed in hospitals.
Yeah.
Trapped up in mum's rib cage. I'd gone through my feet turned together.
Yep.
And by lucky dad played footy for Grafton, football team. That took us down when I was 8, operated, and they put my feet back out straight.
Mm.
But I still can't walk properly.
Yeah.
Prosthetic shoes I've got to wear.
Yep.
And in that home, because when I came there, and that day they come to the gates of Girl, I call it. They burnt your clothes, and I had second-hand sand shoes at the nuns.
They burnt the clothes that you had on?
Burnt the clothes.
And they gave you some second-hand clothing, second-hand shoes?
No, no, they never gave us any shoes. They burnt my shoes. And we had no shoes in Kinchula till we went to Kempsey High School. And all the frost on the ground.
I'm talking country New South Wales, very cold time, very cold area.
Kick your toes, kick your feet, you had cracks and cuts all over your feet. Because frost on the ground, because they wouldn't give you shoes in there.
Whoa.
Yeah, until you went to hospital.
And that's the treatment of the Kinchilla boys training
ex-army.
Ex-army, yep.
And when I walk, they say, walk properly, walk straight. And as a kid, I'm walking, I said, I can't see how I'm walking.
Yeah.
They come belt me on the back of the head, I went up and bloody down on the ground, smashed down the ground. They'd sit down and have a meal at a
table. This was a daily thing?
Yeah, daily.
Yep.
They'd sit down and have a meal and they'd say, number 12, you're not walking like a little white soldier.
So you were numbered?
Yeah, number 12.
You're number 12.
Yep. And I still carry that tattooed in my brain today.
Of course, Uncle. You're scarred.
Yeah.
Yep. You talked about the fill of your meals. What were your meals like?
Meals were substandard because the government had given them a certain amount of food, but they had no good storage. They weren't airtight.
Yeah.
Like we had macaroni and spaghetti in galvanised garbage tins.
Yeah,
and they weren't airtight. And a little weevil, a little black weasel would get in there and he'd multiply by the millions.
So you're eating the bugs as well?
Yeah, they cook it up and have to finish that plate until you completely clean it up.
Yeah.
They keep giving it to you. Same as the breakfast cereals, we had porridge and wheat mix.
Yeah, Uncle Jeb.
A little moth would fly in and he'd lay little grubs in there. They go stiff when they cook them up.
Yeah.
And when you try to swallow that down, they'd be caught in your throat.
Yeah. Uncle Roger, can you quickly tell us a story? Do you recall when you were removed from your family or from your hometown?
Definitely.
Tell us about that story and paint that picture, Uncle. A ugly picture, I would admit.
Well, the bell used to ring up the church because the nuns must have knew that something was going on. And we had a little house on the mission at Barrowville.
Barrowville
Mission.
Mm-hmm.
And this big black car came up. And I found out it was a Riley. The government used English cars, Rileys and Humbers and all that.
Yep.
The government. Out the passenger door, the Sergeant Noonan was a police officer in Barrowville. He stepped out one door. And Mr. Norton was a welfare officer.
So you know these names well.
I was 11 year old, and I was 11 year old.
Yes, 11 year old.
Well and truly, I wanted to be a mechanic.
You wanted to be a mechanic.
I can pull a motor apart, and I can put ring bearings.
Yeah. Oh, bush mechanic, Uncle.
I can rebuild a car.
Yeah, thank you. Beautiful.
I've done panel beating.
Yep, very talented. Yep.
Anyway, they come up in there, and they shut Mum out. Mum had a little smoking place out the front of our place.
So both Mum and Dad were home?
No, Dad was in Sydney.
Dad was in Sydney.
He was working for phone book.
Phone book company, Yellow Pages.
Phone book.
Yeah. Pack them up. So he was working now in Sydney, and the family's home. Now you got brothers and sisters, siblings.
Yeah.
Were they taken as well, or just you?
Yes, they're all taken. The daughter, sisters went up to Cowper at Grafton.
How many sisters you got?
Sandra, Denise. About five.
Five sisters, and how many brothers?
It was 11 all told.
11 all told. So you're all at home there, Barrowville, and this black car turns up.
The two older brothers run away into the bush.
Okay, they took off.
Max and Ross. Yeah.
Yep.
Anyway, when they turned up, Mum was caught when she was 8 year old by Grandfather Sam Dodday, because he hated white people.
Mm.
So she had no education.
Yep.
And they said to her, Mrs. Jarrett, if you sign these papers, your kids will return within 12 months. Mum did come down to Kinchilla because there was a cab driver there named Vince Bannerman.
Gee, good names, Uncle.
F.J. Holden, two-tone, green and yellow. He had a cabin, Johnny Cabin Barrackle.
Yes.
And then Mr. Smith came in 1958 with a black FCL, beautiful black crow. That's the year I was taken. She did come down to Kinshaw, spread a blanket out inside that. Me and my two brothers raced up.
Yep.
Said, getting out of this bloody hill. But she spread a blanket out inside the gate. And I couldn't wonder, I didn't wonder what was going on.
Wondering what's going on.
Yeah.
A blanket inside the gate.
Yeah, spread it out and gave us cordial, lollies and biscuits.
Yep.
So I don't know there. Within an hour, Frank White, the manager, came out and said to Mum, she's got to go. And it's as true as God as I'm sitting here. I said to Mum, please don't come again. She's already lost us once, let alone twice.
Yeah, okay.
What a bloody strong woman.
Yeah, Uncle. Yep. Yep.
And when I got out of Kinshaw, I never asked her anything about it at all.
Yep.
You know, just lived with her. I said, met my mum, I was one of the lucky ones.
Yeah.
Because some of the boys were kids taking a bloody Cootamundra, Bombardier Bay.
Yeah.
And they don't know where they come from, where their tribe was.
All boys that worked into the Kinshilla Boys Aboriginal Training Camp.
Yep.
All leave?
We don't
Were there
know.
Any noted deaths?
They never told us. We weren't allowed to ask any questions.
You weren't allowed to ask any questions?
No. Some boys would come and you'd play with them one day.
Yep.
Next day you wouldn't see them.
Next day you wouldn't
Whether
see them.
Whether they were adopted out or thrown in the river or whatever happened.
Don't know.
Don't know.
Like you said, you're one of the lucky ones,
Uncle Roger. I'm very lucky. I was 11 years old, so I was in the big boys' dormitory.
So when did you leave? How long were you in there for?
I was in there for 6 years. 6 years? 64.
So 11, so we're talking about the age of 17?
Yeah, nearly 17, yeah.
And did
you
go back home to Barrowville?
No. They sent me down to a place in Homebush in Sydney.
Yep.
Where they got young little white fellas from the country.
Yep.
Brought them down to the PMG hostel to make them linesmen, digging posts and telegraph poles in.
Okay.
And technicians to short phones and that out.
Yep.
And every Christmas, they send them back up. So I used to do the maintenance in that place, paint the floors, fix the carpet.
Okay. Were you getting paid for that? Was it a job?
Yeah, 10 quid a week.
Okay, so you got paid for that.
Yeah.
And when you turned of age, 18, did you end up going home? Did you see Mum again?
Yes, I was really lucky.
Yeah, thank you.
One of the fortunate ones. Yep. The brother-in-law worked with Simon Scarfield at Lincoln. And by that time, I come out like a bloody rabbit. I didn't know how to be a man, let alone a father.
Yeah, sure.
And then 1966, bang, this white girl was pregnant. I went back to Barrowville. I was supposed to marry a girl named Elaine Walker.
Elaine Walker. Are you listening, Elaine?
She's a Booker. She was a Bunjalung girl.
Okay.
Because I'm a Goombang Yeel.
Yeah.
You know, they keep us, our totems, not to mix, not inbreed.
Yeah, gotcha.
When I got
that
back,
was the Aboriginal custom law.
Yeah, exactly.
That's right.
Right.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
When I got back, she's already.
She don't marry into tribe.
No, that's right.
You stayed with your own tribe.
Yeah. Well, she'll marry somebody else, so. The elder said to me, nephew, go away, bloodline's too thin. Marry a woman down where you are. And I'll be married to a white girl for 59 years.
And what's this white girl name?
Rosalind Jarrett.
Rosalind, and a very hello in regards to Rosalind. Well, beautiful story. And look, successful as you are today, but the trauma that you went through, if it don't kill you, it'll make you stronger, I would
That's
say,
right.
Uncle Roger.
And the more we talk about it, you know what I mean, the more poison we get out of our chest.
Thank you.
You know what I mean? It releases you from that.
Yeah, so you're happy to have a yarn here on National Talk Break, Mama Bipper Media.
I can talk on the water.
Yeah, I'm breathing for you. Yeah. I'm trying to tell you, Uncle, I'm the host. I'm the host. Well, very good talking with you. Now, you were brought to Cairns, you and your fellow Aboriginal boys in the training camp of Kinshilla, Kinshilla Boys, for recognition and acknowledgement. We had a gathering the other day, big shout out to Mission Australia and young Daniel Geeler, who organised for you gentlemen to be there.
Yep.
I know we have Uncle Les Franks, who lives here in Cairns, and he was part of that.
Yep.
I remember interviewing him last year about his journey.
Yep.
So we salute you, we congratulate you, we thank you for coming here and being with us and to hear your story. And I always say Australia's got a history, good or bad, black or white, but the history is a history and the history needs to be told.
It's definitely to go forward.
To go forward, thank you. That's right, Uncle Roger.
Clean the past up to go forward.
Yes.
And the more white people know about what happened,
mm-hmm.
they'd be more aware of it because...
Well, here's truth telling, isn't it?
It's hidden by the government.
Exactly. Yeah. There it is. Uncle, all the best to you. Thank you for your yarn. We will talk soon. Yep. Enjoy your rest of your time here in Cairns, but then you can head back to your cold country, New South Wales. Now, while I'm on that, Uncle, you've got to be a Blues supporter.
No, I'm a Broncos supporter.
You're a Broncos supporter, all the way.
Yeah, lived at Narang for 23
years. Yeah, beautiful.
I'm a commercial farmer.
So you're a Queensland boy?
No,
Queensland supporter?
No.
Queensland supporter?
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, all right. Right on.
I've got you up here as a deadly brother.
Cool.
Yeah. Uncle, good yarn with you. We'll yarn soon, eh? Thank you very much. Right. So there's a beautiful yarn there with Uncle Roger Jarrett, now based down there at Coffs Harbour. But he was one of the boys back in the early 60s, Conchilla Boys, Aboriginal training camp. He talked about it being a so-called prison and they were slaves. And here we have the truth telling. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say, yarn up strong, and a big shout out to NERS, National News Radio Service. Yarning up with Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, National Talk Black. Yes, very good morning, you daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. This is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, coming to you live from the Doubletree Inn Hilton Hotel. I'm catching up, having a yarn with our deadly uncles who were part of the Conchilla Boys Aboriginal Training Camp back in the 1960s. Conchilla Country, New South Wales. I'm going to have a yarn now with Uncle Robert Young. Uncle Robert, very good morning. How are you?
Good morning.
Before we start, Uncle, I just want to say, can you let the mob know who your mob, where you're from?
Yeah. Robert Paul Young, number 24. I'm born in Corindai. I'm a proud Camilla Roy.
Camilla Roy.
My totem is Goanna.
Okay, beautiful. Uncle, so you were part of the, you could say stolen generation. You were taken from your community to Conchilla Boys Aboriginal Training Camp. At what year was that? And tell us the story how you were taken.
My story begins in 1954 at the age of five. And we went through all this punishment before we even reached them. The boys' home and the girls, we go to Cootamundra girls' home.
Mm.
At that time, in 1954, we got kidnapped in Crindai, five of us. And on that day, they were going out to, my eldest sister at the age of 10, my cousin was 8, and the youngest sister was 3.
Mm.
We were walking down the main street of Corindai after school. My eldest sister would pick us up and take us around to Nan and Pop.
Yep, Nan and Pop's, yep.
And like I said, there's a lot of propaganda and lies that went in there. We were told by the blue uniform, that's what I class them to the day I go. I won't call them by their right name.
Yep.
So they started our trauma. And my little sisters to take us round to our Nan and Pop after school. After being told that our parents were dead, my dad and mum used to work in Corindai Hospital as cleaners.
Mm.
And my dad worked in abattoirs, shearing sheds, and on the farms. But on that day in 1954, we was going out, to, they would take, took us out 80 k's out the gun to pick up two more boys.
Mm.
And with the punishment we went through, and this is before we got to the homes, where the three girls went to Cootamundra, myself, and my cousin went to the boys' home, which our numbers were 24, I was, and my cousin was number 23. So you have travelled with family on country roads, where there's potholes, and that day, we was lucky to get water, for the that's how we got picked up in a paddy wagon.
Yep.
We was lucky to get water off him.
Uncle, were you by yourself at the time?
No, there was five of us.
Are they your the siblings?
Yeah.
Yep.
There were five
so
of
five
us.
You got picked up at the one time?
No, we all got picked up at one time. Yeah.
Yes, Uncle.
Yeah. Like I said, my eldest sister was 10, her cousin was 8, and the youngest sister was 3.
Yep.
And myself and my other cousin was 5 years of age.
They rounded you up like cattle.
Yeah. I crossed when we was in the back of the paddy wagon, as if we were little lambs.
Yeah.
So with the punishment we went through, they're going out 80 k's out the gunner to bring two more boys back.
Mm.
And no related, to this day I keep on saying, I don't know where they went.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of other institutes in New South Wales where girls and boys were put in. But on that day, there was potholes on the road.
Yep.
And they would drive over them, where the road's uneven, left and right, where the sun's...
to give you a rough ride.
Yeah. Where the sun would melt the tar. They'd drive over them, and they'd drive over the potholes, and you're bouncing around in the back of a paddy wagon.
Yeah, and you remember that to this day.
Yeah, to the day ago. A lot of bad stories.
Yeah.
Bad things that went on in there.
So boys went to one camp, Kintilla boys, and the girls went to another camp.
Cootamundra Girls Home.
Cootamundra Girls Home.
Yeah. So we popped at Balfave and the other two boys, but they wouldn't let you know they were related. That was another thing. All my brothers, which I always say to them, I love them.
Yep.
I love my brothers.
You love your brothers you went to school with, you were in the camp with?
Yeah.
They're brothers for life.
Yep. Yeah. To the day we go.
Yeah.
So we copped the punch when going out and back, and the other two only copped it one way into back to Corindai. But and we pulled into a service station or convenience store, and they hit the brakes, and we all go forward and put it in reverse and do the same.
Yeah.
So when we got back to Corindai, they locked us up in the cell.
Yes. And cold country, when we're talking about country, New South Wales, you were not wearing no shoes. You probably did not have any jumpers as well. Is that the case?
No. My brother Roger said when you first come through those gates of hell, that's what we call them, because it was run by ex-military officers.
Ex-military officers, run by ex-military officers?
Yeah,
who pushed the authority on you? Yep, of course.
They did.
And they flogged you as well, did they not? They flogged you as well.
Yep.
You had a lot of punishment, physical, mental, spiritual, all the above.
Yeah, the main thing was the caning.
Caning, they caned you as well?
Yeah.
How long were you in there for, Uncle?
11 years.
11 years. When you come out, did you go home, or where did you go, or what did you do? Did you see your family again, your mother again?
I did see my mum and dad.
Yeah.
And myself and my cousin come out there at the age of 16.
16, yeah.
1965.
Yeah.
And on that day, when we come out of the boys' home, we meet our foster parents.
Yes.
I keep on saying that my foster parents were very nice people.
So they were white people?
Yep.
And they were very nice people?
Very nice people.
Okay. You still have a relationship, friendship with them?
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, not with my mum and dad foster. They probably passed on by now, but in the family there, one kid of their own, and they had two adopted non-Indigenous girls. One was a little person, and the other one was normal.
Yep.
Yeah.
Uncle Robert, did you get to see your siblings, your sisters and brothers again?
Yeah, except one cousin.
Yeah.
My cousin's sister.
Yep.
But I got to see the rest of the family, except for Nan and Pop. I did see Nan, but I didn't get to see Pop.
Yeah. So the training camp was a prison, wasn't it not?
Yeah. Concentration camp.
Concentration camp, that you boys called it, a concentration camp. Yep.
I do, anyway. The boys will probably do the same thing. So
yeah. Well, we had you up here in Cairns in recognition, acknowledgement, honouring the uncles was the title, Mission Australia, and young brother here, TSI Bulla, Erib Dunley Island, Daniel Gila, one of the organisers. We acknowledge you and we respect you, and we call you the true warriors of the 21st century. Uncle Robert, good yarn with you, Uncle Robert Young. Thank you for your yarn. You take care.
Can I get back to my mum and dad?
Sorry?
Can I get back to my mum and
dad? Yeah, please. Yeah, thank you. Continue.
To meet our foster parents, when we got set.
What is your dad's name?
Thomas Neve.
Thomas?
Thomas Neen.
Thomas Neen, and mum's name?
Dulcie Young.
Dulcie Young. Okay, big shout out to them, yes, with us in spirits.
So when we had come back out of our boys in 1965 to meet our foster parents, on my cousin's side, I don't know if they were Spanish, or he met up with a Spanish girl, and he could speak their language.
Oh, okay.
They can't, couldn't speak Camilla Roy.
Is that right?
And it's still upset.
Lost his traditional cultural language, but picked up the Spanish language.
I'm still catching up.
You're still trying to catch up with your language, yeah, of course you are.
So, if you know the suburbs in Sydney, Alexandra and Erksonville.
Yep.
My mum was only 50 yards from where I was living.
Yeah, is that right? And you didn't know?
Didn't know.
Oh, wow.
I was still in the water state. And my foster parents, so I turned 18, but I stayed till when I was 19.
Yeah.
That's how nice they were. They used to let me go out at the age of 16.
And you didn't know your mother's 50 yards away?
No, didn't know. So on that journey there, get connected with my parents.
Yes.
Because we didn't have a parent's love.
Yeah.
We didn't have birthdays or Christmas.
Yep.
That was tough.
You had no celebration of good times.
But on that day, I decided to go over to Redfern.
Yes.
In the TAB.
Yes.
And I spoke to my foster parents and said, I'm going over to Redfern anyway. So they let me go.
Yep.
And so while I was over there in the TAB,
yep,
this lady was looking at me. I didn't know from a bar of soap, but I normally carry a photo of my dad because I'm a split image of my dad.
Yep.
And so she probably saw the image in my dad.
Thank you. She would have. Well, a mother knows her children.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She come over and mentioned my name. She said, your name Bobby Young. Because that's what I prefer to be called to.
Yep.
Uncle Bobby.
Yep.
And when she mentioned my name and that, I said, wow, I've got a name, not a number.
Yeah.
Carry those numbers for 11.
You had numbers in the Conchilla Boys training camp, and someone mentioned your name, Bobby Young. You knew there was connection.
Yeah, well, I didn't know at that time until she came over.
Yes.
And, when she mentioned my name, and she said, I bet you don't know who I am. I said, no. She said, I'm your mother.
Oh, Uncle.
The parents love you, miss.
Yep.
I didn't care about the tickets, if I won or lost.
Yep.
I reckon we would have.
You won there. Yeah. You won there. That was a big win at TAB to see your mother.
And then she mentioned when my dad was living, my dad was in Moree.
Yeah.
And then in all those 3 years I walked past mum's place, I had four sisters and one brother.
Oh.
And on dad's side, I had four brothers and one sister.
Oh, beautiful. But at that time, being at the CAB, you were of age, weren't you?
Yeah.
So you could just go with her? Did you go with mum?
But sadly, it was only my mum and dad was about a year and a half. They both passed away.
They both passed away, yeah. But you had that time, you had the connection.
But why didn't the government?
Yep, why didn't the government?
The Aboriginal and the Welfare Board, Protective Board, all of it.
Yep.
Let me go straight to the mum and dad.
Yeah, exactly. Not to a foster home.
Yeah.
Exactly.
They must have knew.
Uncle, heart goes out to you. Truth telling. Here's your story. This is real. This happened in this country. And Conchilla Boys Aboriginal Training Camp was a prison.
I guess.
And you're not a number, Uncle. You are Robert Young. Uncle Robert Young, beautiful yarn with you. Thank you. You take care. Enjoy the rest of your stay here in Cairns. And all the best to you and your family.
Thank you.
Thank you, Uncle. God bless. So there it is, Uncle Robert Young, one of the boys that were with the Conchilla Boys Aboriginal Training Camp. The boys, they call it the prison. And they were flogged and what have you and treated really bad, taken away from their family. And this is truth telling. This is what happened in this country. Good or bad, black or white, Australia history is Australia's history. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Yarnum with the Bully on Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from Macquarie, with BBM, Barmer Bipper Media, 98.7 FM, and we go via NERS, National Digital Radio Service. Yes, very good morning, you daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from Macquarie, I come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns, and I'm actually at the Doubletree Hotel at the Hilton here in Cairns, and catching up in yarn with our deadly uncles. Honouring our uncles is the Capture Kinchilla Boys Aboriginal Training Camp, and yarning with the uncles here. They call it the actual it was a prison. They got flogged and what have you, treated bad, stolen. And we, look, truth telling, here we are telling the story. I'm now going to catch up with Uncle Richard Campbell, who's come to join me. Uncle Richard, very good morning. How are you?
Good day, mate. How you going, mate?
I'm very good, thank you, my uncle. Before we start, let the mob know who your mob, where you from.
Okay, my name's Richard Campbell. I'm a proud Goombanga Dungati man from the north coast of New South Wales, around the Bucka Bucka Valleys and the Gumbeezy Valleys. That's Kempsey and then Bucka Heads.
Okay, beautiful. I would say from Cairns, far north Queensland, cold country down there.
Very cold at the moment, you know. Very cold.
Uncle, thank you for coming to the program. Look, we a big shout out to Mission Australia and young Bala. That's Daniel Gila, who's organising part of the organisation of having you boys up here, and we're honouring the Kinchilla boys who were in the Aboriginal training camp. I'm picking up that you would call it a prison, would you not? Can you tell us your story, how you were taken? Do you remember the year, how it all happened? And tell us how your treatment was towards you at the Kinchilla Aboriginal training camp.
Cool, okay. Well, you know, like I said, I'm a Goombanga Dungati man. I was with my family. There's 11 in our family, but the older siblings, they all separated. They got married and that, you know. And my father and mother always used to go from town to town. I always wondered why they used to go from town to town. And now I realise that they were trying to protect us from the welfare board.
Yeah.
Because they was chasing us. We've been, you know, like nearly about 6 months, you know, in different towns around New South Wales, you know, mainly a lot in Sydney. And then they finally caught us back home where we actually came from, a little town called Bowerville on the north coast. Mm. Apparently that's where they get all the state of origin plates.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And we steal them, bring them to Queensland.
Yeah, brought them all to Queensland.
Queensland's everywhere.
I don't worry about that, you know, because the Murray mob always put, you know, gave the Guri fellas a go in the
Murray Guri fellas, that's right.
Yeah, in 1966, in October 1966, that's where they caught us, you know. And my older brother, Thomas Campbell, Preston Campbell's father.
Is that right?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. He actually, he took off. He ran away from Mum and Dad. And Mum and Dad had actually, they went looking for him. And the welfare board actually found out about it. And as soon as they found out about it, they come looking for us then.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And he suffers mentally because he always blames himself because of myself. See, there was myself, my older brother, and three younger siblings, younger girls. Mm. I was 8 going on to 9 years old, and my older brother was 11, and my three younger sisters were 5, 4, and 18 months. Mm. So you can imagine, you know, like seeing our three younger sisters getting thrown into these big black cars by coppers, and you know, and these big men that. They used to go around, instead of stealing, we don't say stealing, we say kidnapping.
And kidnapping.
It was legalised kidnapping by the government.
Legalised kidnapping, exactly. Look, that's the terminology, and it's real.
Oh, it's actually real, you know, and from there we went to court in Maxwell. And they locked us all up for the night. So imagine an 18-month-old girl, you know, five and 3 years, they'll get locked up in a little wet, dingy little cell. You know? Then we went to court next day in Maxwell, and they gave us a charge. Neglect. Neglect is actually a charge.
Is that right?
Yeah. Because they thought that Mum and Dad neglected us. And we were never neglected.
You never neglected.
You know, the old people knew the old ways.
All smoke and mirrors. Just to take your kids away from the family.
That's all it was. You know, we were never neglected because...
And we're talking 1966, that's not long ago.
67, the referendum, you know.
And Uncle, I was born in 1966.
Not long ago. Yeah, and, you know, referendum then, they were supposed to, you know... Noticed black fellas as human beings, but we were still fauna and flora.
Yeah,
you know,
sure.
We're still fauna and flora.
We are. Yeah. You guava tree. Coconut tree. That's right.
Yeah, we're down there, like you said, guava tree. We call them gorbas down there.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
So the treatment was harsh. You would get flogged?
When they gave us a charge, they all threw us back into the car, and it was in the evening, and then they took us to Kinchula, me and my older brother, and my three younger sisters was in the back still screaming and crying.
Yeah.
And we was trying to hang on to them. They say they drugged me and my older brother to when we got to Kinchula, you know, and started belting in my older brother, and they, you know, because he was hanging on to his three younger sisters.
Yeah.
We couldn't hold him because he had 6 foot plus men, you know.
Sure.
Ex-army people.
Personnel,
yeah.
Exactly.
And as soon as you walk in the gate, you know, and we could hear our sisters, you know, cry just go around the corner, you know, in the dark, you know, and just fading away, you know, just screaming and crying for us.
And you still remember that to this day?
You could hear it, you know.
Yeah.
You could still hear. I get choked up.
Yeah, Uncle.
I get choked up. But as soon as we walked in the gates, you know, and the first thing they said, bang, hit me in the back of the head, bang, punched in the back, me and my older brother, right.
Grown men.
Yeah, grown men. Yep. Right, your name is not Richard Campbell, you are now number 28.
Number
28.
Your name was gone, you're now numbered.
You're not black anymore, you are white, you know. You're not allowed to speak your language. If you speak your language, you're going to get bashed. You haven't got a mother and father. If you do, we're going to send the authorities around to shoot them. This is the first mental scar straight up, you know. And every time they said it, they used to belt us in the back of the head around the ears, and that, you know. So, and my older brother, he got worse because, you know, he was bigger, and, you know, they thought they'd belt it into him a lot, you know. So, I felt really sorry for my older brother, but from there we went around to incinerate around the back of Kinchula. And they stripped us off, burnt all our clothes.
Yep.
You know, and they told us to get in the shower. They washed us. You know, they sand soap. You know what sand soap is?
It's hard, rough soap.
Rough.
Isn't it?
Yeah, they used to.
Clean
the floors and that with, you know,
peel your skin off, brother.
Well, that's what they used on us.
Yeah.
And a massive big scrub brush, and our skin was peeling. You know.
Yeah.
And then once they wiped us down, they threw all this lice powder over, you know, all of us, and we was actually white then, you know, because we had this white powder all over us.
Yep.
And we had to have that on for a couple of days, so we stunk, you know, and it sting because of the, you know, we had cuts, you know, where our skins were peeling.
Open wound,
you know,
yep.
And from what they did, you know, and from there they split me and my older brother up, you know, so yeah. He went to a big dormitory, and I went to the small dormitory.
So when they burn your clothes, they burn your shoes as well, so you're barefoot, and the clothes that they're giving you were virtually second-hand, but they weren't warm clothes either, were they?
No, they was all real thin clothes, you know, and I had to use clothes that other boys, older fellas, that left. Yeah. So you can imagine, I was all baggy, it was baggy, you know.
Yeah,
so
you were about four layers.
Yeah, and
skin clothes.
And what I didn't know, the bloke who had the number 28, he was a very cheeky young fella in the boys.
And you had his number now.
I had his number, and
they targeted you.
I inherited his pain. You know,
yeah,
so,
gotcha. Yeah,
they used to throw me around, belt the shit out of me. You know, the punishments were bad. You know, bloody physically, mentally, sexually was the worst one. You know, especially when you first went in there.
Yeah.
You know, and they started trying to bloody sexually. You know, you know, they stripped me off, grabbed me. In private,
yep.
Pulled my skin back, and I said, "You've got to clean that." And he tasted me. You know, this
uncle,
is the manager.
That's right, Uncle.
You know, he's the manager. You know, bloody, and I never, you know, experienced anything like that before.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. You know. So, how long were you in the so-called training camp, the prison, you could say?
It was about probably 3.5 years.
Because, 3.5 years.
Yeah, me and Will, old brother. You'll have Will on in a minute.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We were the last in there. You know, so we seen kids who were closed.
Yeah, after that.
Yep.
And when they let you go, where'd you go back home? Did you see your parents again?
We all thought we were going home. They said, get that out of your little black mind, your little black seas and that, you know, because you're going to a different institution. We end up in three other institutions.
Okay, thereafter.
See, what people got to realise, in New South Wales, there were 300 different institutions in New South Wales.
Yeah, gotcha. All, it was a business.
Yeah, it was a massive, you know, we were a commodity.
Yeah, sure, thank you. Yeah.
We were
a product of the system.
Yeah, and our kids are still a commodity.
Yeah, thank you.
And our inmates are still right across Australia, you know, because One inmate in New South Wales is worth about $250,000.
Yeah, big money. Yeah,
so you can imagine what a girl's worth. You can imagine what a girl's worth. Because a female, you know, and we see we're involved with the world sec the world what do you call it this mob that that goes around to talk about slavery, the world slavery thing.
Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah. And and we were slaves.
Yeah,
we
thank you. You were slaves.
We were actually slaves, you know. Yep. This is only in 66.
Well, they call it the Conchilla Boys Aboriginal Training Camp.
That's it.
But it's virtually Conchilla Boys Aboriginal
slaves.
Prison.
Yeah, it was a prison.
Thank you.
Yeah, even though there's barbed wire and that, you know, we could have run away. Brother Will ran away that many times, but they had the fear in our minds, you know, mentally.
Yeah.
So, and we looked at the barbed wire as a massive big wall, you know. So,
yeah.
And, you know, I was frightened, you know. I wasn't game enough to do anything. Yeah, I didn't know where. All I had to do was swim across the river. The river was just right across the road. And I was home.
You was home, but you didn't realise that.
Yeah, that close, only an hour away.
Yeah.
And I didn't realise my father was born in Kempsey.
See? Yeah, gotcha.
Yeah, he never
told
us. Yeah,
yeah, family.
Family. Yeah, See, when we went to school, we used to even go into Kempsey playing soccer and cricket and all that.
Yeah.
When they see black ones, I say, okay, number 28, turn around, shut your eyes and bow your head.
Yeah.
I said, well, why, you know, because your parents are coming along, you know, and I thought my parents were gone, you know, so, and I had to do that. They said, if you look at them, talk to them, you're gone.
Yeah, gotcha.
A couple of times I did. They said, hello, Mum and Dad.
Yep.
They got me back at Kinchula. They started bashing in.
Bashing you, yep.
They chained me up to the tree.
Whoa.
Yep. And then in the evening, and then the workers did whatever they liked to him, you know.
Yeah.
And the women didn't, you know, their wives didn't like giving them sexual. So you can imagine where the sexual.
That's
you know,
right. Yep, exactly.
We were the target.
Yeah. Uncle, so when you left, but you went to other schools or other camps?
Institutions.
Other institutions, the word, like the prisons, you could say?
Yeah.
When were you free of that? Were you of age, 18 years old?
I was about 17 when they let me out. This was probably about another 3 years after that.
Three years after that? And when you were freed, did you go home?
They just pushed me out the gate. They said, you've got to fend for yourself now. So didn't know where I was going. When I got out, I hated white people.
Yeah, gotcha. You hated white people.
I had anger. They never taught me how to respect meat people. They never taught me how to respect people. Never taught me how to respect the female species. Never taught me how to talk to people.
Yeah.
They said I was white. I went over to the white community. They said, no, you're a black man. You've got to go over to the black
You're
community.
Confused, didn't know where and you were. No man's land.
Yeah, and I went over to the black community. They didn't want me because I was speaking, you know, a different language.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly.
You know, they didn't know me. They said, no, we don't know you.
So you hated white people.
I hated white people, even black people.
Because they treated you as well.
Because,
no man's land. You didn't have
They call it, you know, bridging the gap. Bridging the gap.
Yeah.
We were the gap between the
gap. Thank you. You're the gap between the gap. Oh,
yeah.
That's heavy again, Uncle.
We were the gap between the gap. So
did you see your mum, Dad again?
Probably not a couple of years after that. A little place called the Empress Hotel in Redfern.
Is that right?
Yeah, yeah.
You saw your mother?
My mother was sitting there. She wouldn't look at me. She knew me. She wouldn't let them look at me. And I just walked as her mum. She wouldn't say a thing to me. And I just put a beer in front of her. I said, hello, Mum. She said, that's all I wanted to see, son, a beer. Because she was mentally
scarred.
Because she lost five of her kids.
Yep. Uncle, it's very sad to hear the story. Thank you for sharing the story.
No, that's all right.
Truth telling, the stories must be told. They say build a bridge, get over it. But we say, lest we forget.
Our bridge is us. KBH.
Yep.
And our anchor that keeps us together is our numbers. That's our strength.
Yeah.
You know,
number 28.
Yeah, number 28. I said to Carly, I said, look, my girl, I said, they created us and the government don't like us.
Yeah, sure.
You know, it's their history.
Yep.
They've got to own up to that history.
Yeah, they won't own up to it.
About 3 or 4 years ago, we scanned the place.
Yep.
There's 11 anomalies. Where people dug up.
Yeah.
A lot of the kids went missing. You know, they used to come in and
We're talking murder here.
So, we're talking, you know, And we're gonna scan it and get done. He went down a meter, see?
Yep.
The people who done it, they only went down a meter.
Yep.
And the government and the local lands council, you know, we've been fighting with the local lands council to get Kinchelow back to turn it into a museum, you
museum.
Know, so people can learn
history.
About history.
Exactly.
It's there. Yep. They created
who's
it,
telling?
You know. And,
yeah.
And like I said, if they ever find a body or a couple of bodies,
yeah.
that someone's got to own up.
Yeah, sure, exactly. Yeah,
someone's
exactly.
got to own up.
Yep.
Own up to their own, yep. you know, to dirty work.
Exactly. Yeah. Uncle Richard Campbell, it's a pleasure meeting you. You are our warriors of the 21st century.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming to Cairns. Enjoy your time here. Uncle, a big shout out to your family. You travel safe and we'll talk soon, eh?
No, well, just say that. Percy, I'll see you down to Kempsey somewhere. Hey, Percy Neil.
Percy Neil, big shout out.
Percy
Neil Yarraba.
You still owe me a pair of boots, brother.
There you go, Percy Neil. Hope you heard that, my brother. Look too beautiful. Thank you very much, Uncle Richard Campbell, and we'll talk soon. Here it is, yarning up strong with the Kinchilla Boys, Aboriginal training camp, they would call it, but it's actual Aboriginal training prison. That's how the boys noted, got flogged every day, and the history is the history, and let it be told. Look, stay tuned. Your daily program, National Talk Black. Yes, very good morning, your daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It's I, Trevor Tim, Trinity Trev Murray from the Curry. I'm coming to you live here from the Doubletree Hotel at the Hilton. Yarning up with our uncles, honouring our uncles, Kinchilla Boys Aboriginal Training Camp. And we're going to catch up a yarn with Uncle Willie Nixon. A very good morning, Uncle Willie. How are you?
Good, mate.
Very good. Thank you. Before we start, let the mob know who your mob, where you're from, Uncle Willie.
I'm Willie Nixon. I come from a little country town, Galagambone, midwest of New South Wales, on Wawin land.
Yeah.
My mum was a Gamilaroi woman and my dad was a Wawin man. I got taken away from that little community when I was only about 8 years old.
8 years old.
8 years old. Just coming home from school.
Yep, Uncle.
Me and my older brother, he was 9 years old. And the other young brother...
So you remember this strongly?
Yeah, real strongly.
Yep.
I've just
coming
home
from school, you and your brother, yes.
Going back home to the mission. Walking home and we got rounded up by the police and the welfare. A big black car pulled up. We didn't know what it was because back them days it was cars wasn't really around our missions and that.
Sure,
you know?
A lot of horse and cart.
It was just everyone used to walk and
walk, yeah.
And that and we were just got rounded up by these police and the welfare.
Just you and your brother?
And the other young brother, Lick Warwick, he was only 6 years old.
So three of you?
Three of us.
Yep, yep.
And all the rest of the kids was on a mission with our grandmother, our great-grandmother. She was looking after us while my dad was out working and my mum was working. Mum used to do a homestead cleaning for white people.
Mm.
And my dad was a shearer by trade. And we got taken away from them. They come home, no kids. There were 7 of us in the family.
Mm.
And we were just locked up in the police station for a little while till they got all the kids together.
Yep.
Then they take us from a long journey from that little...
So there's no goodbyes, no communication with your mother, father, nothing.
They didn't know where we was. You know?
Yeah,
we were just gone.
Exactly, gone.
And we was on a big, long train trip. From that little town all the way, they was telling us the story that they said that we was going to meet our mum and dad at Dubbo.
Yeah.
But the train pulled up in Dubbo, but we never got off the train.
Yeah.
And this train trip took us all the way to Sydney then.
Yeah.
There was about 780 kilometres back in the old days.
Yep.
Long trip.
Yep.
And we end up at Central Station. It was really strange for us looking around. Because there was hundreds of people walking around at that railway station. It was new for little country boys, country kids.
Yep.
And we was crying. And they separated us. Us four eldest boys went to Kempsey, Kinchilla Boys Home.
Yep.
And the rest of the babies all got fostered out. They must have had it all planned for us.
Yeah, of course they did.
You know?
Of course they did.
They separated us and... we end up in Kinchilla Boys Home.
And there they take your name away and give you a number.
Yeah, took our names away and they gave me a number 24.
24.
And my older brother he got number 23.
Yeah.
And the other two brothers, Warwick and Lexi, got 25 and 26.
Yeah. Okay.
And that's where it all started.
That's where it all started.
Pain.
So it wasn't a training camp, it was a prison.
It was a prison and a slave camp, like every kid had to work.
Yeah, it had to work.
Had to work, yeah. Even when he was only a little fella.
Yeah, yeah. And what sort of work were we talking, Uncle?
Farm work, vegetable gardens for the little boys.
Yeah.
Lawn mowing, all that there kind of stuff. But
would you know how many boys were at the camp?
There was would have been about 70 kids in
70
there
kids,
when
yep.
I was in there.
Okay.
Me and Richard.
You had your own single beds?
We had our own single beds, all in dormitories.
Dormitories, yep.
There was little boys' dormitories and the big boys' dormitories.
Okay, rightio, yep.
And they had it all separated. But same thing, what my other brothers went through, other brothers before that went through, they just end down close to you, ended down close to you, and numbers. Like Bobby Young, he was 24 there when he was in it, 24, number 24.
Yeah.
I got his number.
Yeah, gotcha.
Passed down.
Yeah,
you know,
and then carry their pain.
Carry the pain, yeah. And we didn't know, like, and we're just getting flogged, and my little brothers, they used to wet the bed all the time.
Yeah.
Piddle the bed all the time.
Sure.
And me and my older brother used to cop the punishment for it.
Is that right?
We used to get flogged.
Because your younger brothers wet the bed.
Wet the bed. And they had to stand around and watch us go through the pain to stop them from pissing the bed.
Pissing the bed. Far out, Uncle.
You know, like it was just bad.
Yeah.
And I used to run away there all the time.
Yeah, so you escaped, run away.
Well, I'd never got anywhere.
And they got you in, you're getting more punishment for running away.
I didn't know where this river was going to take me, you know, like the river was across the road from us.
Yeah.
Used to flood all the time.
Yeah, sure.
And that river, I found out years after, there was a current river, like a freshwater, salt water.
Yeah.
And it ran out in the ocean.
Yeah, gotcha.
And this river, the ocean, this river took me out in the ocean. Capsized a boat, I pinched
the boat to get away, yep. It capsized the boat.
Downstream.
So when they catch you, they take you back, they flog you again,
Big Moreton Bay fig tree out the back there.
Yeah.
It's only got about two lengths of the chain left in that tree today.
Yeah.
Rusted.
Yep.
It used to be about 6 or 7 feet long.
Yeah.
And they used to wrap that around, you would etch them bag over you.
Yep.
They give you 3 lashes per day from a West.
They whip you. They whip you. Yep.
Yeah, with a belt or a cane, bamboo cane.
Mm. From West. And what year are we talking, Uncle?
1966.
Yep.
1966.
Year I was born. Yeah. Not so long ago.
And, I was in there for. They separated me from my brothers because I'd run away all the time.
Yep.
And they sent me to another boys' institution.
So you left Kinchilla Boys, went to another institution.
And my other three brothers still
stayed
in
there.
Kinchilla.
Yeah.
But they never told my brothers where I went.
Yeah.
They told my brothers years after, when I ran into them, that I died.
But you died.
I died.
They told them
that's
a lie.
That's why they wouldn't see me anymore.
So when you were set free, what age, and did you see your family again?
15.
Yep.
But my mum and dad split up.
Okay.
My dad left me a mum.
Yeah.
Left her by herself.
Yep.
And she hit the grog.
Yeah.
Drinking.
Yeah.
Because she lost 7 kids.
Yes, exactly.
And she killed herself in alcohol.
Okay. Like, so you didn't get to see her again.
I seen her to the age when she was only about 45 year old.
Yeah.
1983.
You remember that? Yeah, okay, Uncle.
I went to a funeral. And, but she was drinking down the rivers, like all the other mob used to do.
Yep.
And the river was flooded. This woman, she was drinking wood. She fell in the river, and Mum jumped in to save her.
Yep.
Mum was a good swimmer back in her younger days.
Yep, yep.
But she brought the woman to the shore of the river, saved her,
the bank.
Mum drowned. A log hit her and took her under the water.
So alcohol didn't kill her. The river killed her. She drowned, saving somebody else.
Saving somebody else.
Whoa. Yeah. Did you see your father again, Uncle Willie?
I seen my father, but he didn't even give us any shelter. Any house to live in, because he had another family.
Yeah.
he didn't want us around him.
Yeah.
Because through the old laws, the state of, the welfare, well, you were still under the state of ward, but you wasn't even allowed to be with your parents.
Yeah.
To the age of 21.
Yeah.
Because you were still under that Aboriginal Welfare Act. And they didn't, like, my old man didn't want nothing to do with us.
Yeah.
We just lived our life. We grew up really hard.
So you caught up with your brothers, Uncle Willie?
Years after.
Years after, yeah.
They found out, they seen me, you know, but they didn't believe that of their brother Willie.
Because they were told you were dead.
Yeah, And that was really bad. And, but I got...
to prove yourself to your brothers.
I had a fight one of the boys because he didn't believe that of his brother Willie. You know, we'd come fist cuffs and till we mention our mother's name.
Yeah.
And we knew that I was alive. And
and then were you all okay after that?
Yeah, but we never really...
Got close again.
Never was really close though, like family.
Okay.
Because he was just split up, and you couldn't accept that.
Well, you're traumatized.
Traumatized by the kidnapping of this country.
Yeah, you know? Beautiful. Yeah,
taken away from your parents. You know, like
beautiful in a sense that the truth be told.
Yeah, and,
you know.
But the three boys who was in a boys' home with me, three brothers, they're dead now.
Yeah.
They left me two. Brothers got had cancer.
Yep.
Really bad cancer.
Okay.
And my other brother, he committed suicide.
Yeah.
He carried that pain around.
Yep, carried the pain around, yeah. Exactly. And you yourself, Uncle Willie, did you marry, have kids?
Yeah, I got married. I had seven kids myself.
Okay, and your lovely wife, her name?
Yeah, she's Miley.
Miley?
Yeah.
Big shout out, Miley.
Yeah, she's... She reckon Miley Cyrus pinched her name.
Miley Cyrus pinched her name.
She's the original. My missus is the original Miley.
Okay, beautiful. But, and you got seven kids, Uncle?
Seven kids and eight grandchildren.
Eight grandchildren.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
And we live on the Central Coast in the Darkinjung area.
Yep, okay.
Up on the Central Coast.
We'll
be up there for... On this Friday coming, we'll be married, me and my wife will be married for 44 years.
Congratulations, 44 years.
On your birthday, too.
On your birthday.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
I turned 60.
That's true love right there.
I turned 68 this Friday.
Yeah, brother.
But when I got married and had kids behind, I used to cry cry all the time. And the missus used to ask me why I was crying all the time because they was having birthdays.
Yeah.
And
you never had birthdays.
I never had birthdays.
You never had birthdays. Yeah, sure.
Yep. Or Christmas.
Yep. The treatment that was a Kinchella boys' school.
Took
it all away from you.
They took our boy all day out of us.
Yeah.
At school, only time we had a good a free time out of that at our boys' home when they used to send us to school in West Kempty Primary School.
Yeah.
And they used to put shoes on us.
Yep.
And we thought we was just it, yeah. And they come home, and they all that stuff used to get taken out, and then you had to walk around with bare feet again. And even our sports, we used to play soccer, rugby league, and we used to be in surf carnivals at Nippers.
Surf carnivals,
We was pretty good at that.
Sure. Black fellas are talented in music and sports.
Through boxing and all good champions come out there. Out of that boys' home over the years, Hector Thompson,
Willie Leslie,
and maybe
and Willie Nixon. there you go, brother.
Me and brother Buddy did boxing when we come out of boys' home. We won a few fights, we lost a few fights, but we put all our pain on other
people. The pain that you receive from Kinchella boys. In institution, take it out on the other boys, whether it be football, rugby league, or boxing.
I played football till I was age of 57 year old.
57?
Played first grade football.
Yeah,
played
beautiful.
In about 45 Koori knockout carnivals.
Well, you missed all that because you was in prison.
Prison, yeah.
You know, thanks to Kinchella boys.
That was my Happiness playing football.
Uncle, good yarn with you. Thank you very much for sharing.
Thank you.
Hope you enjoyed your time up here in Cairns.
Oh, I love Cairns.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Yeah, there you go, Uncle. Plenty of room. We, like I said, big shout out to Mission Australia and Daniel Gila, organisers for the honouring the uncles from Kinchilla Boys Aboriginal Training Camp. We say camp, but we know it's a prison. And the truth be told, here we are, truth telling. And as I said, Australia's got a history, good or bad, black or white, but history is history.
That's it.
Uncle, thank you very much. All the best. You, you take care of yourself.
You too, brother.
And good yarning with you, Uncle.
Thank you.
Take care.
I'll catch you later, right?
For sure. Beautiful yarn there, and that's Uncle Willie Nixon telling his story regarding Kinchilla Boys and how he was treated and how he was scarred physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, all the above. And that's the true story of the Kinchilla Boys Aboriginal Training Camp / Training Prison. That's it. This is your daily program, National Talk Black, Yarn with Bully on Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, and a big shout out to NURS, National News Radio Service. Have you seen Yarn Armstrong, National Talk Black?
This story's right, this story's true. I would not tell lies to you, like the promises they did not keep, and how they fenced us in like sheep. Said to us, come take our hand, set us up on mission land, told us to read, to write and pray. Then they took the children away, took the children away, the children away. Snatched from their mother's breast, said this is for the best, took them away. Welfare and the police came, said you've got to understand, we'll give to them what you can't give, teach them how to really live, teach them how to live their self. Humiliated them instead, taught them that and taught them this, and others taught them prejudice. You took the children away, the children away, breaking their mother's heart, caring us all about, took them away. One dark day on Framlingham, came and didn't give a damn. My mother cried, go get their dad. He came running, frightened man. Mother's tears were falling down. Dad shaped up and stood his ground. He said, you touch my kids and you fight me. Then they took us from a family, took us away. They took us away. Snatched from our mother's breast, said this is for the best, took us away. Split us up again and gave us gifts to ease the pain. Sent us off to foster homes. As we grew up, we felt alone, cause we were acting white yet feeling black. One sweet day, all the children came back, the children came back. The children came back, back where their hearts.
back where they all belong, the children came back. Said the children came back. The children came back. Back where they understand, back to their mother's land, the children came back. Back to their mother, back to their father, back to their sister, back to their brother, back to their people, back to their land. All the children came back. Yes, I came.